Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're wrestling with images, not just any images, but the ones that kind of stick with you, maybe haunt you a little, the ones that pierce right through.
Yeah, we're diving into a really powerful book. It looks like dense theory on the surface, but it reads almost like a letter, or maybe eulogy, is Roland Barthes's Camera Lucida, Reflections on Photography.
And this isn't just some academic exercise, right? It feels incredibly relevant.
Absolutely, because Camera Lucida isn't really about art history or even the technical side of photos. It's this deep philosophical meditation on what a photograph actually is, and more importantly, what it does to us.
Which feels essential now, doesn't it? I mean, we're just swimming, maybe drowning in images every single day, Instagram, news feeds, everywhere.
Exactly. We're constantly scrolling, uploading, filtering. Barthes gives us a way to pause and ask, you know, out of this flood of images, which ones actually matter, which ones carry some kind of truth.
A truth maybe that filters and digital tweaks can't quite erase.
Precisely. So our mission today is to follow Barthes on this really personal journey he takes. He starts as this like ultimate intellectual.
Very detached, very theoretical.
Right. But then grief hits him hard, and it forces him to basically throw out his old rule book to try and find just one true photograph. So we'll unpack his discoveries, especially these two key ideas, the studium and the punctum.
Okay, let's start with the man himself, Roland Barthes. He lived from 1915 to 1980, and he was a major, major figure in French thought.
Oh, absolutely. A real heavyweight. If you've studied literature or cultural studies, you've definitely come across him. He was central to semiotics. It's the study of signs and symbols, how things get meaning in culture.
He wrote that famous book, Mythologies, where he could brilliantly dissect the hidden meanings in, like, anything. Ads, wrestling, toys.
Yeah, he was the master deconstructor. He showed us how society encodes meaning into literally everything around us.
Which makes Camera Lucida such a surprising turn.
Yeah.
Because this book, his very last one, comes from a totally different place.
It does. It was written right after his mother, Henriette Binger, died in 1977. And that loss, that grief, is absolutely central to understanding this book. It's fueled by it.
So he shifts gears completely. He drops the detached theorist persona.
Entirely. He puts aside the semiotics, the science of signs, and adopts what's called a phenomenological approach, which basically means focusing intensely on his own direct subjective experience.
So instead of asking, what does this photo mean culturally, he's asking.
He's asking, what is this photograph doing to me, the grieving son, right here, right now? What's the feeling, the physical jolt? It's incredibly personal.
Wow. So using all that intellectual power to process something so raw and personal.
Exactly. And that fusion of intellectual rigor and deep vulnerability is what gives the book its unique power. It's why it hits so hard.
And this personal quest led him to the book's main goal, right? To find the essence of photography.
Yes, the nomen, as he calls it. What makes a photo fundamentally different from, say, a painting or a drawing? What is its unique core?
And his conclusion, it boils down to that simple, almost stark phrase.
That has been.
That has been.
That's the bedrock. A photograph, for Barthes, isn't just an interpretation like a painting might be. It's evidence. It's a direct physical trace. Light rays literally traveled from the object, touched it, and then hit the film or sensor.
Like a fingerprint.
Or
a footprint. Proof something was there.
Exactly. That indexical force, that truth claim, however fragile, is what gives photography its unique punch.
And the book itself mirrors this journey. Part one is more general, setting the stage.
Right. He's trying to work things out intellectually, laying down some groundwork. But part two, that's where the heart of the book lies. It's this intense, almost desperate search through old photos to find his mother, not just her face, but her soul.
And that search is where he really develops those two key concepts you mentioned earlier.
The studium and the punctum. Yes. The studium is sort of the general cultural interest we have in a photo, what we can name and understand.
The context, the history.
Right. But the punctum, that's the unexpected detail, the thing that jumps out and pricks you or wounds you emotionally. It bypasses all the cultural stuff.
Okay, let's dig into part one first. The studium. Barthes is saying photography's power comes from this evidential force, this trace quality.
Yes, the studium is tied to that. It's what lets us know what the photo is about. You know, the subject, the historical context, the photographer's intention, maybe the genre.
So if I see a news photo of a protest, the studium is the signs, the crowd, the location. Everything that tells me this is a protest.
Exactly. It's the information, the cultural meaning we can read based on what we already know. It's polite interest, generally shareable.
Okay, I think I get the studium. It's the stuff we can talk about, analyze. But Barthez seems to say that's not where the real power lies. He focuses on this punctum.
He does. Because the studium explains our interests, but it doesn't explain that sudden shock, that jolt, that deep personal connection we sometimes feel with a photo. That's the punctum.
And it's often something small, almost accidental.
Totally. He describes it as a detail that shoots out of the scene like an arrow. It's often not the main subject. It might even be out of focus or in the background. It wasn't necessarily intended by the photographer.
And it hits you, the viewer, personally.
Yes, that's crucial. The punctum is intensely personal and subjective. What pricks me might leave you completely cold and vice versa.
He gives some great examples, doesn't he? Like the bad teeth of a man in an old portrait.
Yes, or a specific necklace a woman is wearing. Or the way a boy's arms are crossed that instantly reminds Barthez of a friend's gesture. These tiny, specific things.
Things you can't easily explain or name the significance of.
Exactly. That's why he says, what I can name cannot really prick me. If you can easily explain why it affects you, it's probably studium. The punctum has this element of mystery, this direct pre-rational hit.
Okay, so that distinction sets up the shift into part two, which feels much more like a memoir driven by his grief.
Absolutely. The theory becomes deeply personal. He's sifting through photos of his mother, Henriette, desperately trying to find her, not just what she looked like, but her essence, her spirit, her kindness.
And it's a difficult search, isn't it? He finds many photos lacking.
Very difficult. He expresses profound disappointment. Most photos, he feels, show only her image, her social mask, maybe. They capture her physical presence. Yes, that has been is there. But they don't capture her soul, the unique being he loved.
It highlights a paradox. Photos give us this undeniable proof of existence, but often fail to convey the person's inner life.
Precisely. The mechanical truth doesn't always equal the human truth he's seeking.
Until he finds it. The Winter Garden photograph.
Ah, yes. This becomes the pivotal moment. It's a faded photo from 1898 showing his mother as a 5-year-old girl in a conservatory, a winter garden.
And in this small, old image,
he finally sees her. He recognizes her fundamental nature, her air, her kindness, her integrity qualities he knew throughout her life. He calls it her sovereign good. It's an intensely emotional recognition.
This photo held the ultimate punctum for him. But then he makes this really interesting, almost provocative decision. He doesn't show us the photo.
Right. It's not reproduced in the book.
Right.
And that's deliberate.
Why? Why keep the key piece of evidence hidden?
Because he understood that for us, the readers, it would just be an old photo of an unknown child. It would become studium something interesting historically, perhaps, but without that personal wounding connection.
Oh, I see. So by withholding it.
He keeps its punctum private, his own. But more importantly, he universalizes his quest. He forces us, the readers, to think about our own winter garden photographs, the images that hold that kind of profound personal truth for us.
That moment of finding the photo confirms this whole theory, doesn't it? It brings it all together.
It absolutely does. It solidifies the idea that the photograph's unique power, its noem, its very essence, is that irrefutable link to the past. That has been. It's like, he says, an umbilical cord connecting the present moment of looking to that past reality.
Okay, so let's pull out some of the big themes here. First, this idea of the indexical nature of photography, the trace, the fingerprint idea. Why is that still so important?
Well, think about today. We live in an age of Photoshop, deepfakes, AI-generated images. The very idea that a photo is proof of reality is constantly under attack.
So Barthes' focus on the that has been actually makes us more aware of how fragile that truth claim is becoming.
Exactly. It gives us a critical lens. When we see an image, especially online, Barthes encourages us to question its indexical quality. Is this really a trace of something that was, or is it something else entirely?
That's a really powerful point for media literacy.
Okay. Yeah.
Second big theme, photography and death, the memento mori.
Yes, this is the melancholic heart of the book. Every photograph, Barthes argues, captures a moment of life, but by freezing it, it instantly confirms that moment is past and the subject is moving towards, or has already met, death.
It preserves lives, but also emphasizes that life is temporary.
Right. He even calls death the eidos, the very essence of the photograph. It's always implicitly there.
And we all feel this, don't we? Looking at old family photos, especially people who are gone.
Uh-huh.
There's that comfort. They were here, but also that sharp pang of loss.
That simultaneous presence and absence, it's comforting and devastating all at once. The photo asserts existence against the void.
And the third theme relates to time itself, this temporal vertigo he describes.
Yeah, the way a photo messes with our sense of time. You're holding this object here and now, but it's showing you something definitively there and then.
It collapses physical distance, but preserves the temporal distance.
Exactly. It brings the past rushing into the present, but keeps it sealed off. It's a strange, unique experience. You're physically encountering something that is absolutely irrevocably gone. That's the vertigo.
It explains why looking at certain photos can feel so unsettling or profound.
And why Barthes uses language like wounding and piercing. Normal descriptive language kind of fails to capture that direct visceral impact.
He definitely has some lines that stick with you. I mean, they really capture these complex ideas.
Oh, absolutely. Very quotable, but dense with meaning.
Like this one. A photograph is always invisible. It is not it that we see. What's he getting at there?
He means we don't really look at the photograph itself, the paper, the chemicals, the pixels. We look through it to the thing it represents, the referent. The medium becomes transparent.
We're absorbed by the person or the place depicted.
Right. And related to that, he says, the photograph does not call up the past, but to attest that what I see has indeed existed.
So it's less about triggering memory or nostalgia and more about providing evidence.
Its primary force is evidential, he argues. It's proof. This person, this moment, was...
Which leads directly back to the core idea. The name of the photograph's noem will therefore be, that has been.
That's the thesis statement, really. The absolute heart of his argument about photography's unique nature.
And one more, about the punctum. What I can name cannot really prick me.
Yeah, that reinforces its mysterious quality. If you can easily label the feeling or the reason for the connection, it loses its power. The punctum works on a deeper, less conscious level. It has to find you.
What's great about this book, even though it's quite theoretical, is how practical some of these ideas feel. You can actually use them.
Totally. Take the winter garden photograph idea. You can apply that to your own family photos.
How so?
Well, instead of just organizing photos chronologically or by event, try looking through them with Barthes's quest in mind. Search for the images that, for you, truly capture the essence of a person you love, their spirit, their kindness, that specific air Barthes found in his mother's photo.
Especially maybe if you're grieving or trying to connect with someone who's gone, looking beyond the smile for the camera.
Exactly. It can be a really meaningful, even therapeutic way to engage with your own archive.
And the studium punctum distinction is super useful for just navigating the world today.
Absolutely. Think about the flood of images online. You can start to distinguish. Is this image just delivering information, context, trying to manipulate me in a predictable way? That's likely studium. Or does it contain some unexpected detail that creates a genuine personal response in me? That might be a punctum.
It helps you become a more mindful viewer, maybe less easily swayed by purely informational or manipulative images.
Right. And for anyone creating images, photographers, designers, artists, Barthes' ideas suggest maybe focusing less on just technical perfection or clear messaging.
And more on allowing space for the unexpected, for those small human details that might become a punctum for someone.
Exactly. Look for moments that reveal something deeper about the subject, something beyond the surface narrative. Those are often the images that resonate most powerfully over time.
This has been fascinating. For me, thinking about it now, the biggest takeaway is still that personal journey Barthes took. The way this giant of intellectual theory had to essentially abandon his own complex systems when faced with something as raw as grief.
Yeah, and how he turned that vulnerability into a whole new way of understanding photography itself. It's quite profound.
He used his deepest pain to unlock something universal about how we relate to images.
And I think the lasting message for you listening is that the photograph holds this unique, almost magical power. It's this fragile bridge to a moment, a person that's irretrievably gone. Its real value isn't just aesthetics or information.
It's that assertion of existence that has been especially powerful in the face of loss of mortality.
Precisely.
So here's a final thought to take away. Look at the photos that matter in your own life. Are they primarily acting as records, as evidence of what happened, or are some of them doing something more? Are they pointing you towards what is essential, the enduring truth about the people and moments you cherish?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acotra Foundation.